I'm very happy now to welcome Sharon Gooley. She is a historic reenactor, and she will be at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium this coming Sunday, the 14th of March at 2 o'clock, doing a presentation called Victorian Dressing from the Inside Out. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
So you actually reenact how Victorian women got dressed in the morning? Is that what we're going to see?
The program that I'm planning to do this Sunday is actually going to demonstrate how a Victorian woman might have dressed to go to a dinner party in 1886.
And so how many layers go into putting on this outfit to go to a party?
Oh, goodness. Just the underwear alone usually consists of 7 or 8 layers of undergarments, all of which I will demonstrate in the program. I will begin in a chemise and drawers, which is the bottommost layer, so to speak, and I keep putting layers on after that. So there's usually 7 to 8 layers of underwear, and then there's another 2 to 4 layers of the dress itself, and we have to top everything off with the correct accessories.
Why did they have to put so many things on? What was the function of each of these various layers?
Well, think about, I always try to put things in a modern perspective. Why do you choose to wear the exact clothing that you wear? There's a certain amount of clothing that a woman wears nowadays to be considered proper and decent or fashionable. What she would wear to go to the beach is far different than what she would wear if she were dressing to go out to a fancy dinner party to celebrate an event. And so a woman in 1886, a fashionable woman of high enough society who's going to a dinner party, would need to have her silhouette be fashionable. She would not want to be considered unfashionable. And in 1886, for example, the bustled silhouette was fashionable, so she would need to include a bustle, or a tournure, as it was pronounced, as it was more commonly known back then, more properly known, I should say. She would need to include a bustle as part of her outfit, because without the bustle in 1886, she would have been horribly out of style. So in addition to the usual petticoats and corset and chemise, for example, she needs to include other pieces to look fashionable.
So basically, having an hourglass figure with a cord, little tiny waist that's corseted, and then a big, huge rear end was considered a sign of feminine beauty.
It was considered a sign of feminine beauty. It was considered by some to be what would signify the higher class from the working class. Some people considered working class women would be thick-waisted and poor. But that's not necessarily true when you do your research. There were corsets specifically designed for working-class women, and they wanted to look fashionable, too.
So when women dressed like this, could they walk around comfortably? Could they breathe? Could they, in a pinch, run from point A to point B?
My firm belief is women are women, and we always figure out what we need to do. And being a person who dresses this way as part of the way that I earn my living, what I do, I teach Victorian balls, I do Victorian clothing programs, so I dress in this clothing on a regular basis. And what I like to tell people is, just like now, you would decide how high of a heel you want to wear, how short your skirt is, how tight your jeans are. A woman back then would have also decided how extreme her clothing would be, how tightly she would lace her corset, for example. And I have found that when I'm dressed this way, I can do everything except maybe eat a full meal. I can dance, I can run, I can bend over and pick things up off the floor. Although if I were extremely tightly corseted, it would make these things less comfortable. But you bet, if the place were on fire, every corseted woman in the place would get out the door in time.
But the steak and potatoes dinner won't fit.
I had a friend who said the only thing that she couldn't do when she was tightly corseted was eat the full meal, and she certainly would avoid the carbonated beverages.
All right. Now, how did you find these clothes? Are you using actual period artifact clothes?
Rarely in my programs do I use vintage clothing for a number of reasons. Many vintage clothing items are very fragile. Many times they're not my size. I consider them works of art that I would not want anything to happen to with the normal wear and tear on the road. So most of the outfits that I use in my programs are newly made pieces, but as often as possible, I will refer back to original patterns, books that have drafted patterns from original pieces. Many of the items of clothing I use in my show, I have made myself, or I have had made for me specifically to my instructions based on my historic research. The dress I will be using Sunday was made by someone else who has done a lot of research. It's a beautiful dress, and I'm very excited to be able to present it for the first time in this show on Sunday.
So why 1886?
1886, I tend to pick for my clothing programs a year that most distinctly represents a specific silhouette. For example, for some programs, I will represent the year 1861, because that was like the height of the hoop era, in my opinion, with very distinctive features of the dress. Another era I like to represent is 1875, 1876. 1880 and 1881 was another very different silhouette. It was a very skinny silhouette. So I have selected 1886 for this Sunday's performance because it's very typical of the second bustle era. It's a very elegant look. Contrary to what you think, the large horse-shaped bustle actually presents a very elegant silhouette when the dress is fitted very nicely to the woman's body. Plus, because of the display that's happening at the museum right now, they have a number of items of clothing and underwear in their display from the 1880s that I would like to make reference to. So when people see the display, they can actually see it in use, of a similar item being put on a real human person in my show. That's why I selected 1886.
And so you're at the New Mexico History Museum, and that's the connection to New Mexico, the exhibit that's there.
Exactly. They invited me to come share this program in connection with their clothing and underwear display. They felt it would be a good living example to bring it to life in front of people, not just to see vintage garments under dim light in a beautiful display like they have, but to see it actually being put on. They can touch it, they can see it, they can feel it. And in some cases, they can actually put it on themselves.
So all of this is this coming Sunday, March 14th at 2 o'clock at the New Mexico History Museum. It's called Victorian Dressing from the Inside Out with Sharon Gooley, the historic reenactor. And the exhibit that's there is called Fashioning New Mexico. So and there will be a free guided tour for that afternoon as well. This event is free with museum admission, and, of course, attendance is free on Sundays to all New Mexico residents. Sharon Gooley, thank you so much for being with us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz will feature Song of the Month, I Got Rhythm.